Psalms 27. I've been in a chapter mood lately. I like to get a chapter out of God's Word and just go for it. That's what we did Sunday morning on the fourth chapter of Philippians. And I don't even remember what title we gave it, but I know the ending of it was, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Amen. The truth that comes to us from Psalms 27 is that God and His words are life. God and His words are life. They're our life. That's a better way to put it, our life. Amen. And I don't know that I don't have any fancy way of saying it, but I would just like to serve it up as I see it and as the Lord has made this real to my heart in a time with Him this week. In Psalms 27, remember that God and His Word are your life. We live in strange times, perilous times. We live in times, you know, it's only God. It is only God that some terrorist, foolish person has not pushed the button that would release destruction on a goodly part of the world. You know, we've come through the atom bomb, and then we've just seen this increase. In fact, man has enough firepower today, if it were only released, to just take out a goodly part of the world. And then you look at business, and you know, you look at education, you look at anything. Folks, we've got to anchor our hope in the Word of God. That no matter what the newspapers say, no matter what the current news may be, I mean, you know, no matter what is happening, that our faith is unshakably placed in God. That when the world seems to fall apart, our first reaction is, what did God say about this? Not what did man say about it, but what did God and what has God said about this? So I want to just launch into Psalms 27. All the Word of God is good, and I receive it and rejoice in it, but this especially is a psalm of David. If anyone understood life, David understood life. If anyone understood adversity, David understood adversity. If anyone ever understood disloyalty, David's own son Absalom. One of the most heartbreaking stories in the Bible, and how that David still pled and pled and loved and loved. And it didn't have to end like that, but it did. Amen. And even with Saul, as Saul's heart turned, you know, there's some strong teaching in the Word of God. The thing I like about, I love both Old and New Testament. Of course, New Testament is the final word. We understand that. But the Old Testament paints pictures of how people lived out what we preach about. It tells you if they did it, the positive side of it, and if they refused to do it or they ran from it, you know, a Jonah. God says go to Nineveh, and He's got other ideas. When you do what God said to do, you will be blessed. And something I've said, and I'm just going to keep saying it until everyone hears me. You know, when we're born again, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And I'm a grace man, because I'll tell you, I'll be the first to stand up and shout it to the housetops. Neither I nor any of you are going to make it without the grace of God. No one's going to make it without the grace of God. I mean, every second, do you repent 10 million times a day? Some of you haven't repented in a couple, 3 days. And if it was, it's not that you've, you know, it's not that you've done anything that bad, but I mean, sin is sin. And if it were not for the grace of God, but here's the thing, when you do what God said to do, and you know, the Bible's full of do, what God said to do. Old Testament's full. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is that man. So if you do or don't do these things, there are blessings and there are consequences. Amen? Praise God. And it's all through the Word of God. You do what God said to do, and God will bless you. But here's the truth that God has shown me, and I'm still searching. I know I'm saying it simply, but there's still a searching in my spirit to say it like it should be said. When you're born again, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. But here's the thing. If you don't do, basically, I'm not talking about doing to be saved. I'm not talking about works to be saved. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you're running from or resisting what God said to do, and two-thirds of the Pauline epistles, Paul's telling people how to live. Paul even tells you how to think. Joshua 1:8 tells you how to think. Philippians 4:8 tells you how to think. No one's going to tell me how to think. Well, the Bible's already told you how to think. Amen. But when we do what God said to do, then it releases heaven's fullness and blessings. It releases the blessings of Abraham. It releases the blessings of God in your life. When we fight that, resist that, run from that, or go back to the slop that God saved you out of, then you create your hell on the way to heaven. Everybody thinks you understand what I'm saying. Everybody says it's not quite clear yet. I mean, we'd be honest and live. No, really, I'm very serious about this point, because this is something I have lived out through the years, and I've really been silent on something that's been in my spirit for a long time. When we do what God said to do, it releases the full blessings of God, the financial blessings of God, the physical blessings of God, the favor of God. It releases all kinds of good things in our life. When we don't do what God said to do, you know, if we're mean, we're ugly, we're, you know, some people just live their life a holy terror, as some people say. Well, then you create your own brand of hell on your way to heaven. And as I tell you, life can be challenging enough without stirring the pot and making things complicated. I want to please God. I want to be a God pleaser. I said, I want to be a God pleaser. Hallelujah. And just because I'm saved doesn't mean that everything I always do pleases God. Amen. Now, I'm not preaching works. I'm not preaching legalism. But I'm just telling you, it pays to do what God said to do. It pays. It pays to do what God said to do. I've had staff. And we have staff now. I think basically we have one of the best staffs we've ever had right now. But I've had staff, you try to get them to do something, and they'd go the other way. You try to make a suggestion. You try to be nice about it. You know, you do everything except crack the whip, and they just, duh. And they just, either they don't get it or they don't want to get it. And you know what? That does not build a good working relationship. Doesn't. It doesn't work at IBM. It doesn't work at Lockheed. It doesn't work anywhere. A bad attitude doesn't work anywhere. In fact, it'll get you fired quicker. Churches probably have more compassion and more grace and more kindness. I know this house does. Dear God, we have shown great grace over the years in trying to help people and reach out to people. So I said with all of that, you know, when I read my Bible and I see something there, and everything I see here, oh, it just makes me say, God, I want to be that. I want to do that. That's the way I want to live. God, that's the way I want to think. Oh, God, thank you for getting my thinking back in line here. Praise the Lord. All right, well, that said, let's look at Psalms 27. The Lord is. Oh, shout it with me. The Lord is. The Lord is. Not the Lord was, he was, but the Lord is. Think about that. He will be, but right now, the Lord is. You say, well, get on with the rest of it. Well, everything in Psalms 27 is tied into the fact that the Lord is. We used to sing a song, the Lord reigneth, and blessed be the rock, and blessed be the God of my salvation. But the Lord is. What is the Lord? Well, it would take from now throughout eternity to try to say all that God is. But David just swings right into it. He's my light. I don't walk in darkness. I don't walk in darkness. He is my light. God is my light. He's my light. He's delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We're not roaming around in darkness. Saturday night, Joy had already gone to bed a little while before I came in, and I had some slacks and I had some suspenders on them, and I took the suspenders off and they dropped to the floor. And then I was trying to get, you know, men, we're going to do it anyway, you know. And so I didn't want to turn the light on, didn't want to disturb Joy, and I was trying to get out of those slacks, and my socks were clinging to the, it just, the whole thing wasn't working real well. And I'm trying to balance on one leg and then the other leg. And finally, I just stepped down and I felt like I'd stepped on an ice pick. It wasn't, but I don't know how that little piece of metal on suspenders or braces or whatever you call it, I don't know how that little piece of metal on there can hurt so bad. And I'm telling you, my foot swelled and it hurt. And I went down to the lower level and found some old crutches we had. I mean, I thought, God, it's Saturday night. Sunday's coming tomorrow. I'm scheduled to preach in the morning. And you know, you always think ahead for the weekend. I mean, especially if you're in leadership, you think ahead on that type of thing. And I thought, Lord God, oh, help me, Lord. And so one of our precious caregivers was there, and she's a nurse, and I said, look at this real quick. Went to the other end of the house, and we put a little stuff on it, you know, to kill the infection if there was anything of that nature. And I mean, you just can't imagine how just a little puncture on the very bottom of your foot, how painful that can be. Amen. But all that happened because I didn't turn the light on. All that happened because I was trying to quietly slip out of my trousers, and, you know, and I didn't want to just have a rude awakening. But you know, the Lord is our light. You don't have to roam around in darkness. The Lord is your light. He's not only your light, but He is your salvation. Right here in Psalms 27, the Lord is my strength. He's my salvation. Hallelujah. He's my light, my salvation. Thank God I'm saved. Charlie Pryor said something 3 or 4 times, I know, in going out and so on. He said, you know, it's amazing how many people don't know for sure that if they died right now, they would go to heaven. Now, I mean, that gets some folks all stirred up, you know. Are you questioning someone's salvation? But if you can't spring back and say, yes, I know that I'm born again, and if you took your last breath in church here tonight, you know the next breath would be in heaven. But a lot of people, even professing church people, cannot tell you, yes, I am born again. Yes, I am ready for eternity. Amen. But we ought to be able to do that. Thank God He is my salvation. Praise God. He is the strength of my life. Oh, we grow weary, even the youth shall grow weary. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And then he goes on to say, the Lord is the reason I can live fear-free. Let me tell you, child of God, you may be living it, you may not be living it. We all slip out of it just for a second or whatever, or a period of time. But the Bible said, whom shall I fear? Who or what shall I fear? There is no basis for a believer to live in fear, myself included. And there's times I have to get myself by the nape of the neck and say, whoa, whoa, we're not going to live in fear. Not going to live in fear. Amen. I'm not going to live in fear. Praise God. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Fear-free living is what David discovered. Praise God. And we're just one verse into Psalms 27. Then he went further in the second verse. And he begins to talk about some things that he said, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. It just shows that if you'll just believe it, I know most of the folks of this church know it, but, you know, there's a verse that said, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Praise God. When the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me. That means you're in the minority. I mean, there's a bigger crowd against you. You have more against you than you have going for you in the natural. But though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Shout it out. My heart shall not fear. Amen. Though war should rise against me in this, I will be confident. Praise God. So he comes out of the Lord is into verse 4 and he says, One thing have I desired of the Lord. Paul said, this one thing I do. I found out over and over again in my life, you get too many things going and you get confused. Major on one thing, the main thing. One thing I desire. What do you desire? He said, to dwell, to behold, and to inquire in God's house. To dwell, to behold, to inquire. I guess I'm a strange duck. You know, I was abused as a child. I just don't say much about it, but I was terribly abused as a child. My parents made me go to church. And, you know, I'd try to fake sickness, but it just wasn't worth it. Mom pulled out that big old olive oil bottle, and the time Mom got through praying, you might as well just, if you were really sick, they'd have mercy on you. But, I mean, she knew how to, with three boys, she knew how to run the bluff, the God bluff. But, you know, there's something I enjoy, and you need to go where you enjoy. You need to go to church where you enjoy. There's some folks that around here that just fascinate me. I mean, if you drive an hour and a half or 2 hours to get here one way just to come to this church, Something's got to be happening in you. But there's folks that won't drive one block to get here. Yeah. All right, but one thing. I love to dwell in God's house. I love God's house. I love God's house because there I behold him. There's just something about it that when the corporate praise and worship cranks up, you're in the midst of a company that is dedicated to worshiping God. I thank God for the electronic medias, and if that's the only way you can get church, hey, just go for it and enjoy it and be blessed there. But you know, we need one another. I'm a pastor. I need the strength of the company of God's people. In the New Testament, they return to their own company. There is a value. You're sitting here tonight. There's a value in being in the midst of your company. If you feel that this is your company, or if you're a guest, we're just delighted to have you tonight. Because to dwell in God's house as much as possible, to behold, and to inquire, then we inquire. David said, until I went unto the sanctuary of God, then understood I. I couldn't tell you how many things I've prayed about, fasted about, sought wisdom about, reached out to try to get answers. But when I came to church, something of the Spirit of God said, this is it. The pieces began to fit. And something was said. To dwell, to behold, to inquire. And I would encourage every parent and every grandparent in this room. It's a little scary. Some people say, well, people have changed. Well, people have changed for the wrong in some ways. Amen. We need church. We need church. We need the house of God. We need the company that God has called us to. And not just for me to be pastor. That's not what I'm saying. I need the fellowship of God's people. Oh, I mean, it's just so beautiful, especially when there's just that moving of God and you can feel the wind blowing, and spiritually you can see the fire burning, and you can hear testimonies like we heard here tonight. Here's a woman great with child, and she's crying out, God, I need to change my life. And Calvary Cathedral International was part of the answer to the life, because some of us knocking on the door saying, you have problems, we have answers. We're here. We're the answer people. Hallelujah. Oh my, one thing have I desired. We need the body. We need one another. I want to say it again. We need the body. We need one another. I know the trend today is get out of as much church as you can. I mean, I don't mean get it out of it, but get away from as much church as you can get away from. That's not right. That's not scriptural. You're cheating yourself in that. You say, well, that's just the way it is. Just the way it is does not make it right. People say, well, that's just culture. Well, culture can be wrong. And there are cultural things that are happening in this nation. Yeah, we're using the weed in Colorado to treat people. Your local pharmacy is selling weed now. Or somebody is. Do you see what I mean? Just because the culture has changed and is doing it doesn't mean that it's right. There's times that God called the entire nation, repent! Stop it! Turn around! Come back! You're not going in the right direction. The parents have eaten grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. It's a trickle-down thing. Kids learn from their parents. They learn from the example of their parents and their grandparents. Oh, my, church is important. I'm not going to dwell there, but one thing have I desired. Praise God. And there it is in verse 4. Of the Lord that I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That doesn't mean you live there. Some people accuse us of doing that, but not so. All the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Hallelujah. Now, you see folks that know who the Lord is and folks that are pursuing the one thing that pleases God, then God's with them in the time of trouble. For in the time of trouble, we all face times of trouble. No matter how righteous you are, no matter how good you are, no matter what happens, we all face times of trouble. And if you're serving God, here's the thing. So you hit some trouble. You know, pilots will go out of their way to stay out of a storm. Especially, you know, passenger airplanes. They'll take hundreds of miles out of their prescribed destiny and destination. Because even though the plane will go through a storm, they don't want to put it through the storm on purpose. You don't fly into a lightning storm. You don't fly into a heavy storm. That's the kind of things that can bring disaster. But in the time of trouble, if you do hit trouble, your airplane's going to make it. I said, if you do hit trouble, your airplane's going to make it. He shall hide me. In the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. What is that? He'll hide me in the things of God. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Thank God when those flood waters come in, look upon that rock. And we're looking down at the waters. He places us upon a rock. He shall hide me. Hallelujah. He'll set me up upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. I will sing and I will rejoice in praise and worship. Hallelujah. In the time of trouble, we can shout the shout of victory. Oh, hallelujah. We can rejoice because we know we hit a storm, but we're coming through. We're coming out. In the name of the Lord, in the time of trouble. Time of trouble does not mean the end of the way for you. The time of trouble for a believer is a chance for God to prove what an awesome God He really is. And you know, for folks that know how to weather the time of trouble, then when I pray, let's look at verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon, mercy. That's so important. Have mercy upon me and answer me. Lord, when you said, seek ye my face, my heart said, Lord, thy face will I seek. Now, church, let me just challenge you on something that God just keeps speaking to my heart, and I must say more about it. We need to be sensitive to those God moments in our life. We need to be more sensitive to those God moments in our life. It can come on the freeway. It can come where you work. It can come where you wake up from a sleep in the middle of the night. It can happen in a crowd. I have been in a crowd when I just felt sealed off with God. And the Lord calls you into that secret place. I don't understand. But you know, God has a way. God has a way of calling you into his presence. And if you will respond to that, then greater things will come. As a parent, you parents know, you ever try to get the attention of a child and they didn't want to listen? And we've all been that way with God. God responds to us when we listen to God. Three or four times this week, in just being around a certain situation or being around people, being in a given situation, that I could see God in that circumstance. It was just like I was sealed in a bubble and I saw and I experienced the grace of God. You know, sometimes it happens in the most unusual way. Sometimes the most different kinds of people can just open a vista of the goodness of God. Be sensitive to those God visitations. Don't be too busy. Don't say, well, I've got to do this, got to do that. Just hold steady. Let God speak. If you let God speak, more words are coming. If you're sensitive to the now, a better future is coming. And I believe that we could avoid so many disasters. There was something that I was praying about the other day, and God said, I have something so much better for you. That's all he said. I said, where'd you go? What? Come back. Notarize it. Put it on. Oh, God. Help me, God. Where'd you go? That's all he wanted to say, and that's all I needed to hear. If I'll hear it. I said, if I will hear it. God has something so much better for us, and if you believe it, it will come to pass. Be sensitive to those God moments. It can happen right in the middle of church. There's times, and those of us that speak know what I'm talking about, there's times I have a God moment when I'm ministering to others. All of a sudden, I mean, I'm having church inside of me while I'm still preaching to the congregation. Or in study, it can happen in study. God has so many ways of revealing himself. It can happen while you're waiting on your car to be washed or waiting on an oil change or you're having to wait and you think, man, time, you know, we just got to do something. And God said, just be still and know that I am God. Yeah, God can speak to you in the middle of a car agency. God can speak to you in the middle of Walmart. God can speak to you on the highway. God can and will speak to us if we'll just listen. When I pray and when I seek after God, we come out of these attacks. Look at verse 7 again. Oh Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy on me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, I'll seek. When God said, seek my face, pause. Don't talk to anybody for a few moments. Just drop everything. Don't answer the phone. Just hush. Just cool it. Listen. When that happens, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Hallelujah. And you know the beautiful thing about verse 10? You know, when others forsake us, God takes us up. When my father and my mother, now that doesn't mean your father and mother have to forsake you, but if that happened, even if your father and mother would forsake you, then the Lord will take me up. You ever felt forsaken? Have you ever been forsaken? There's men that have been forsaken. There's wives that have been forsaken. There's young people that have been forsaken. But he said, if you'll just trust God, the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, verse 11, O Lord. And three things that happen when you feel like you've just been forsaken. Teach me, lead me, and deliver me. Teach me, lead me, and deliver me, between verse 11 and 12. Teach me, Lord. Teach me in the way that I should go. Lead me, Lord, in a plain path. Lead me in a plain path. Amen. Lead me in a plain path. You know, that's so important. Years ago, Brother Billy McCartney, he's been in heaven a number of years now, but I made this statement, and he came up and he said, that opened up a whole new understanding of me. Lead me in a plain path. Lord, don't lead me in a complicated path. Lead me in a plain path. God's ways are not hard to understand. They're not hard to come by. Lead me in a plain path. In a plain path. Lord, just make it simple. Make it so plain that I can't misunderstand it because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Whew! Well, we've gone 12 verses. Now we've got 2 verses to go. You ready for them? Praise God. You ready for 2 verses? I tell you, these are 2 of the strongest verses. I just keep saying that, but these are 2 of the strongest verses. David said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. No matter what's happening to you, the best is yet to come. No matter what's happening to you, the best is yet to come. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Things may be rough. They may be tough. It may seem like God left town and has an unlisted number. But, oh, keep your faith in God. I had fainted. I would have fainted. We all would faint unless we believe to see. And that ties in with the message Sunday morning. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. When the ship seems like it's going down, I believe God. When the storm rages, I believe God. When I understand, I believe God. When I don't understand, I believe God. I had fainted. I would faint if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Then verse 14, glory to God. Wait on the Lord. Man, why won't he get off this prayer kick? It just keeps coming back to pray, 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 doesn't it? Just keeps coming back to pray, pray, pray. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I'm holding a microphone, so I can't do all the mechanics of it, but in Isaiah chapter 40, when it said, you know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I studied this out several years ago. What it is, it's like a rope. You ever see a rope that holds a big ship? Big old rope. And it dock and it. And you look at that big ship and you see that rope there. That rope is not one strand. That rope is made up of many strands. But the way it happened, they were interwoven together until that rope became a strong rope. They that wait upon the Lord, we get so interwoven with God. We get so interwoven with God. Praise God that when God gets through with whatever God's doing for you and in you and through you right now, your rope can hold a ship. Woo! Your rope is stronger than anything the enemy would bring against you. Could bring you. They that wait upon the Lord, wait. It's not just, ooh, hurry up, God. Hurry up, God. Oh, wait. I don't like to. No, they that wait, those that become interwoven with God shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Something's happening in this waiting period. Something's happening. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Secondly, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Be courageous. Be of good faith. There's good faith and bad faith. Good courage and bad courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. This is a heart healthy verse. I have a heart out beside it. With a little red pen there, little heart. Wait on the Lord. be of good courage. Encourage yourself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he shall strengthen thine heart. And you thought he was through with it, but he comes back and said, listen, wait, I say on the Lord. He just won't get off this prayer kick. God's got a thing about talking to us. God loves to talk to us. God loves to talk to us. You know, when a couple's in love, man, they just love to talk. They just love to talk. Love to talk. Love likes to talk. Hallelujah. Amen. I drove many miles just to come over and talk to Joy for a little while and then returned back to a city that I almost never mastered pronouncing it, Waxahachie. Hallelujah. I was in Bible college. Man, I'd be working an evening shift over in Dallas, and I'd think, ooh, joy, 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 joy. Oh, joy in the morning, joy in the afternoon, joy, joy when I get off of work. Joy, joy, joy. Distance didn't make anything. A tired body didn't make anything. Extra gasoline. I was headed for my joy. I needed a joy fix. Needed a joy fix. Hey, needed a joy fix. Hallelujah. Just scratch on the screen. Talk to her a few moments. Say, well, I got to go. I got to get up and go to school in the morning. Head for Waxahachie. Oh, my, my, my. Praise God. Wait, I say on the Lord. Be of good courage. Good courage. Hallelujah. Be joyous. Be hilariously joyous. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Hallelujah. Wait, I say on the Lord. Could I give you two of the strongest single scriptures in Holy Writ? Could I do that? Would you mind if I did that? All right, let's look over at Psalms 34, verse 10. And I'm closing with this. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, watch it now, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Can you handle that? It pays to seek God. It pays to seek God. It pays to seek God. All right, the other one is Proverbs 28:5. Proverbs 28:5. And I'll just turn over to it so I'll be sure and get the reading of it just like it is. And these two verses have challenged me for years. All right, 28:5. Verse 5. Evil men understand not. Duh. See, the wicked don't understand the ways of God. They don't understand the ways of God. Wicked men or evil men understand not judgment or what is right or the way life really is. But they that seek the Lord understand all things. One translation said, have understanding, godly understanding about all things. There's things I don't need to know, but the things I need to know, God will give me understanding. God has not hidden his word from us. God has hidden his word for us. Hallelujah. And I don't know if you can handle much more tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. They that seek the Lord shall have understanding in all things. It pays to pray. Oh, it pays to pray. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Verse 20 of that same chapter said, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. It's hard for me to start and stop in Proverbs. I just want to keep on reading. Hallelujah. Be a wise man. Be a wise woman. Read Proverbs. Find out how life really is. And God will make a difference in your life. Send if you would. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. You know, we need moments like this. This is just pastoral teaching that God has encouraged me to share with us tonight. Thank God, the Lord is. Say it with me, the Lord is. Everything I need. everything I'll ever need. The Lord is. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is. The Lord is. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord is. The Lord is. The Lord is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I'm asking you to let understanding flow through this audience. Lord, they've come to the house of God tonight, and I just pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding will stand guard over their hearts. Minister to every person in this room tonight, Father. Lord, whatever the cry, the desire, the need of their life and their heart may be, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Amen. I want you just to pray with me for our youngest daughter, Janet, right now. Amen. Just join your faith with mine that we continue to believe for that manifested miracle in Janet's life. Father God, we thank you for our youngest daughter, Janet. We thank you for our youngest daughter, Janet. Thank you for both of our daughters, but right now we pray for Janet, whose life has been under attack now for a few years. Father, I just speak supernatural healing, signs, wonders, miracles. I speak deliverance for Janet Joy tonight. In the name of Jesus, we just say Janet Joyce is the healed of the Lord, the delivered of the Lord. Lord, do it any way you desire to do it. Father, we thank you that she will wear that blue dress. She will continue to bless the Lord and to bless others with her life and her testimony, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Father, I speak your blessing over all the caregivers that watch over our Janet. And I just thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for touching our precious girl. In Jesus' name, praise be unto God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. All the time we've been in this building, I've never said anything like this, but I just saw in the Spirit, in faith believing, you come forward with whatever need you have. Just touch that second step, wherever it is. It's all the way across. Just touch that, and then lift both hands and thank God for victory. Yeah. Just lift your hands and thank God. Now just lift your hands and thank God for victory. Oh, yada lavora bakashaka da la bosa. Oh, la baleve leve 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 shai. Oh, yada bakatora bakatai. Do leve 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 leve. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. For signs, wonders, and miracles. For signs, wonders, and miracles. For signs, wonders, and miracles. Now let's shout the shout of victory. Hallelujah. It shall. The Lord is. The Lord is. It shall come to pass. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Just lift your hands. Let's shout the shout of victory. Oh, there's victory in the house tonight. Victory in the house.